consistently attract soulmate clients, begin showing up on brand, monetizing on your calling. Welcome all spiritual coaches, leaders, healers, light workers, and practitioners to a show that turns you on in your business and amplifies your magnetism. I'm host, catalyst, and spiritual business coach Roslyn Fung, and I'm here to journey with you into the juicy and help you discover where the real gaps are. Ignite your mindsets and soul with strategies and systems as each episode takes you to the sweet spot that activates your soulgasmic business. Enjoy this light language activation as we begin to magnetize and monetize.
Good morning, my loves. I am here sitting with my back against this beautiful old wise tree in Kelowna, British Columbia, Canada. And I am staring at these beautiful mountains in front of me, and there's the beautiful lake. It is heaven here. And so I want to thank you for tuning in with me. You're going to receive so much yumminess on all levels on this show. So today, it's a little bit different. We are going to really flow into we're going to be in the flow of enlightenment with my guest GP Walsh. I'm very excited to have him here. His show, which is called The Flow of Enlightenment, is after my radio show, and if you haven't tuned into it, oh man, I feel like you're going to be in for a real treat. But before I introduce him, I want to let you know that if you're feeling called to dive in deeper and work with me, I am launching my 12-week Mastermind Client Attraction Academy, where I'll be walking you through my signature method, and you will receive all the fun, bold, sexy vibes in attracting your soulmate clients and monetizing on your calling. So if you do feel called to check out more details about this, because we're going to really elevate yourself through mindset, soul, and strategy, please do go to figureconfidence.com/academy to check out the program. And many of my clients have not only, the most important thing is expanded their souls, peeled off the mask, show up with who they really are authentically, so that they could be, do, and have. And so, of course, with that comes amazing, amazing rewards, really being in your calling and transforming others' lives. So again, www.sevenfigureconfidence.com/academy. All right, my loves, now let's go on to today's show. So let me introduce to you GP Walsh. He is a true master spiritual teacher, full of compassion, wisdom, and playfulness. He's been teaching and healing for over 50 years and has touched thousands of people with uncanny ability to just know what someone needs to make a breakthrough. I can't wait to hear more about his story. He's the son of a schizophrenic mother and an absent father, and his earliest memory is being tied to his bed to keep him from wandering. The years of abuse and emotional deprivation were offset by a natural gift for and love of truth, as well as an unquenchable curiosity about how people really heal and awaken. GP has spent a lifetime mastering various techniques of meditation, energy healing, emotional clearing, and manifestation, as well as studying numerous spiritual and religious traditions. As an articulate speaker, extraordinary teacher, meditation master, and world-class storyteller, He takes the most difficult life teachings and makes them easily understandable and practical. That's my kind of thing. I love this. I can't wait. His message goes beyond self-help to deep and lasting spiritual transformation. In fact, Jack Canfield called him one of the best storytellers in the world and personally invited him to become a member of the prestigious Transformational Leadership Council. G.P. Walsh is also the author of The Tao of Allowing, Tapping on the Buddha, Angels in the Basement, and countless courses and workshops. He is a creator of Inner Reconciliation, the culmination of his many decades of research and practice. Welcome, GP. It's an honor to have you here, my love.
Hi, Rosalind. Geez, when you said 50 years, I went, whoa, God, that's a long time. Most of your listeners probably aren't even 50 years old yet.
Well, Lord. This is so beautiful to have you here because we're going to soak in all your beautiful years of wisdom and experience and teachings here in the show. And I'm so excited to learn from you and be activated and have the audience just really drop in with us as well. So also, those of you who are listening, you're just going to love GP's energy. And honestly, GP, I feel like if God had a voice, he would sound like you. has anyone ever told you that?
Well, some friends of mine once referred to me as the white Morgan Freeman.
Beautiful.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, I used to do voiceovers and commercials and stuff. I did video
Not
games.
Surprising.
I did video games and all sorts of different things. So,
yeah, oh,
I
kinda, wow.
I guess I got kind of got given the pipes. Yeah.
Yeah, what a beautiful gift. Well, I would love for you to share with us your powerful story of how you got to be who you are today. Wow, like the beginnings of your story. I know what just is going to really resonate with people. And how you got to then do what you've been doing in this world.
Well, boy, I could spend the whole hour just talking about that.
That'd probably be okay.
Just to the buildup. You know, I was definitely not a candidate for a spiritual teacher. I was basically a drugged out rock and roll drummer, and that was my only ambition. that's wow. All I wanted to do. But I was an emotional basket case. I was a wreck. Like I said, I was drugged out from the time I was 15 to the time I was 19. So much so that I remember coming home one night, about 17 years old. And I hadn't had any kind of drug. And my mother says, are you on something? You're acting funny. And I laughed out loud, right? Because it was the first time in a couple of years I hadn't. But, you know, I was stoned again the next day, so all was back to normal. So, I was like, it was so integrated into who I was. Which is just, you know, the lifestyle of rock and roll. And, you know, and I wasn't a huge success, so I wasn't the wealthy rock and roll guy driving around in limousines, right? I was sleeping on the floor in the living room of a house, you know, playing in bar bands and the like. So it was not the luxurious life. But over time, my personality just got darker and darker, just more and more cynical, more and more negative, to the point where my very, very best friend on the planet said, go away. I just can't tolerate being around you. Nobody wants to be around you anymore. And they were right. I was just impossible to be around. Nothing was good. Everything was horrible. And I just withdrew, right, into myself after... After high school, and I for the life of me, I don't know how I got through high school. I really don't. But I couldn't hold a job. I went to junior college. I dropped out. I was just completely and totally dysfunctional. and had just knew there was no way out. So as I said, I'm sleeping on the floor in this house in the middle of Wisconsin. I grew up in Illinois, and just getting stoned, you know, playing in these bar band in bars and the like, and then getting high. And one night after the normal thing I'd been doing, you know, pretty much every day for the last 4 years, I was at a place where everybody's getting high on this and that, and just sitting around with everyone. And I was suddenly seized with just this terror. My whole body just went paralyzed. I couldn't feel it. I couldn't move it. I was just sitting there. The only thing I'd move was my eyes. Nothing else was working. I couldn't feel my body. I didn't. My heart was pounding. My throat had tightened up. So I was wheezing.
Oh, wow.
My head was pounding, and I began to think, this is it. And I was actually welcoming it.
So wow.
I'd become so miserable and so hateful and so filled with pain that I just, you know, great, let's end this. Let's end this now. I sat there for a while, and then all of a sudden, without any warning and without any input from me, my body got up, walked out the door, and started to walk. Completely on autopilot. I had no idea what was going on. I had no idea where we were going. But I walked for about 30 or 40 minutes, just down the street and around this and that. And finally, after that time, it stopped. My body stopped, turned right, and I found myself standing on a bridge. And it was a walking bridge. It wasn't, you know, an end-it-all kind of bridge. I would just gotten wet. But it was this footbridge that went over this incredibly, horribly polluted river. It was just dead. It smelled. It was brown. Nothing could live in it. And at one time, this had been one of the cleanest rivers in the country, one of the most pristine rivers in the entire country. As I sat there staring down into this cesspool, this dead cesspool, just this anger just erupted in me. It was just rage. I was just so, everything was horrible. And this rant started coming out of my mouth or in my head. I can't even remember, right? Just how horrible everything was, how shitty it was, how we'd taken such beautiful things and just utterly destroyed them out of stupidity and greed. Mm-hmm. And then I said, and I did the same thing to myself. I took this innocent, you know, good, intelligent kid, and I completely destroyed him. I don't deserve to live. I've just ruined it. I've ruined my chance.
Wow.
Suddenly there was
profound mirror for you.
Oh, yeah. All of a sudden there was this voice, a very loud voice, and it said, "Look closer." It had carried so much authority and was so loud that I had no choice but to obey it, and it just stopped me in my tracks. And I'm sitting there staring at this polluted river, and I go, "Look at what?" And the voice said, "Look closer. Look really close." Well, I did. I just concentrated all my effort into this horrible cesspool of a river. And suddenly, it was like Alice in Wonderland. I started to shrink. Everything around me started getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And until everything had disappeared. And I found myself just floating in space. And there around me in the space was all these molecules. I was in the river, but I was so small, I was actually seeing the river at the molecular level. And the voice said to me, "Look at the water." And I looked at the water. He says, "Now look at the pollution." I looked at the pollution. It was clearly a difference. The water's just this beautiful, pristine thing, right? And the pollution, these ugly, distorted things. And the voice said, "They're not touching, are they?" I said, "Wow, no, they're not. They haven't bonded, have they?" And I go, "No, they haven't." So if you were to find some way to separate the two of those, you'd have the same original pristine water that you had in the beginning, wouldn't you? And I was just in shock. It's like, yeah, it would be the original purity. And then the voice said, Greg, that's you.
Wow.
Sorry. It's been 50 years. I can't tell that story without cracking up.
Oh, my gosh. Up. Well, please, all your tears are welcome here. That's deep cellular memory. Wow. And
like,
that voice, did you know whose voice that was? Like, did you know it was coming, where it was coming from?
I had no idea. It just carried the authority, and I was just obedient.
Mm.
The next thing I know, it was just like the top of my head had been pulled off, and there was just light everywhere. I was just flooded with this light. And next thing you know, I'm back on the bridge. I'm looking around. My body's completely back to normal. The effect of everything had just was gone. And I was just standing there in kind of a daze.
Wow.
And realizing that this was the first time I could remember in my life that I actually felt loved.
Wow.
And probably took about, within 2 months, absolutely everything had fallen away. Every drug, every relationship. And I was in school, I was getting A's. I mean, everything was just flowing. And it just, my appetite for spiritual understanding just exploded. I mean, this is the Midwest, right? A Course in Miracles hadn't been written yet. This is 1971.
Wow.
I'd never heard the word enlightenment, yoga, any of these things. They didn't exist. You know, this is a small town in Illinois. And I had no idea what had happened. And I said, I got to find out.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you know what, JP, is we're going to just take a pause here, leave people on hanging, and we'll find out what happens next in your story.
Okay.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. Om Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single Om Times endeavor. Host your show with Om Times Radio Network.
Life is a flow, and enlightenment is simply harmonizing with the way life really is. Then you find that life is effortless, benevolent, and free of all suffering. Hey everyone, this is GP Walsh, and I want to invite you to my brand new radio show that's launching right here on Om Times Radio called The Flow of Enlightenment. I've been a spiritual teacher for decades, and my greatest pleasure is being able to share with you these deep and highly practical spiritual ideas. So join me in The Flow every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern and let yourself be transformed.
My loves, you know you're here as a soul-led leader to transform this world through the sharing of your passions and gifts. You are here to be in your warrior of light and align your business with your highest self. I'm Rosalind Fung of the show Activate Your Soulgasmic Business. Let's elevate your business to the next expansive level. I invite you to flow into a business soul alignment discovery call with me at rosalynfung.com. That's R-O-S-A-L-Y-N, fun as in have some fun, F-U-N-G, and let's see how I can best hold space for you to align your highest self, magnetize your dream clients, and monetize on your soul mission. I can't wait to connect.
Coping 19, brought to you by CDC and the Ad Council.
Do you feel like your emotions are all over the place? That's normal during this abnormal time. There are a number of ways to cope. Maintain a healthy routine, get enough sleep, eat nutritious food, and exercise at least 30 minutes each day. Schedule some time to talk with a friend or family member. And remember, you can always take a few deep breaths to feel more centered.
Find more self-care and coping tips at coping-19.org.
All right, welcome back, love. So, GP, please continue sharing your story with us.
Well, I had thought at the time that, you know, this everything was going to be just, you know, rainbows and unicorns from then on out.
What? That's not what happens when we get enlightened.
Little did I know. You remember that the voice said two things. First, it showed me the original innocence. That's what I named it afterwards. It's that part in every single one of us that has absolutely never been touched. It is the same pristine, beautiful innocence that's been there the entire time. But it has gotten all mixed up, mixed in with all sorts of distortions and pollutants and illusions and limiting beliefs and ideas and assumptions and so the mission became in as the voice said, find a way to separate the two. And that really became the mission of my life, was to find out how is it that we get so alienated from our essential innocence and purity. And it took a while, you know. I started out with learning the metaphysics because that's about all I could find growing up in where I was, you know, the New Thought churches kind of philosophy, science of mind, and that sort of thing, which eventually ran its course for me. It answered a lot of questions. I studied the Bible quite vigorously. I had access to all sorts of reference books, so I began to see it metaphorically or mythologically rather than literally or historically. So I found a lot of meaning there, a lot of things that explained to me what had actually happened. And after that had run its course, I began to explore other things. The psychology had now started to boom, right? This was by this time it was like around the 80s, and the whole consciousness self-help movement was just getting started. I mean, nobody, people had just heard of Wayne Dyer and Deepak Chopra, right?
Yeah.
They had not come on the scene yet. And so there was a lot of it I was hearing. A lot of it seemed really bogus to me. It seemed really quite ego-centered. But a lot of it seemed quite legitimate. So there was the whole psychology of it, learning about, you know, traumatic material. I'd never heard the word, you know, conditioning, right? Mm. When I was, right? Mm-hmm. Remember, I was born in 1952. We didn't have a TV when I was born.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
As you were going through this, huge, profound awakening. I'm really curious, in your external world with your friends and your peers and teachers and like your family life, how did this affect people? Like, what were their reactions?
For most, they were incredulous. You know, I was living in a different world. Now, I was still a dysfunctional human being, right? I mean, I didn't learn how to do anything. I did not manage money. I didn't know how to be in relationships. I was scared to death of girls, you know, because, you know, because my mother had been, you know, nuts, right?
Right,
She hated men. She hated me, taught me to hate myself. I mean, I thought there's plenty of energy there that I simply didn't understand the magnitude of conditioned patterns and programming and all that kind of stuff. So there'd be incredulity on one side, And some that were just kind of blown away by what I knew. I just had access to knowledge that for some found quite challenging and others found quite endearing. But again, for me, the process was how do I get this integrated into my life? And that took a long time, you know. So it was well into the 80s before I really even understood, you know, cultural conditioning, how the mind works. And I went through various kinds of processes, you know, gestalt and ab reactions, mm-hmm. trauma release, and that sort of thing as I began to understand that. And then it was finally in the 90s, when that had run its course, that I ran into Zen and then Advaita Vedanta, which are the ancient traditions of non-duality. Starting first in India and then expanding into Zen Buddhism. And that is what finally gave me the final piece to the puzzle. It all came together and kind of integrated the entire thing into a way of seeing wherein that original innocence could be liberated once again. What caused it, how it got stuck in the basement, how conditioning took over, how we became identified with our conditioning, thinking that this conditioned pattern, the egoic mind, is myself when it isn't, and then how to free yourself from that and become liberated. And that whole process I eventually named inner reconciliation, because it's a very gentle, it's a reconciling with yourself. It's not self-help, it's self-discovery. Self-help actually tends to exacerbate the problem because we get kind of stuck in this world of constantly fixing. I've got to fix this.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah.
But what I saw was there's nothing to fix.
Mm-hmm. I agree. No. I don't believe we're broken.
There's nothing broken. Mm-hmm. Even the conditioning that's causing you so much problem isn't broken. That's the way it was meant to function. Yeah. It's just been functioning out of ignorance. And not out of wisdom.
That's right. And I really believe that everything's happening for us, not to us.
Yes, yeah, it is. Everything is happening through you, in you, with you. I mean, it is.
Yes.
It is one whole, right? You're not separate from other things. You can't separate yourself from anything other than the whole. So the separation between us is an illusion. The separation between you and anything is an illusion, whether that be, you know, the relationship, your dreams, or, you know, finance or a career that you believe in, or the sense of separation from it makes us feel as if there's something out there we need to get, and there, that's where the whole world of seeking and trying to acquire and or attracting, that's where it all comes from. The fact of the matter is it's not out there. It is quite literally within you. It has just been, you've just been disconnected from it, from that primal trauma that put the innocent you in the basement and then identified with the conditioning as yourself. You're not your conditioning. You're not who you think you are. You are that original, pure, pristine self. And it's never gone anywhere, and it can't go anywhere, and there's nothing you can do to get rid of it.
I love that. Yes, you're right about that. There's nothing we can do to get rid of it. Now, I'm curious if you can explain that even deeper for some people, because they might be like, well, what do we do with it then?
Well, the beautiful thing is you don't have to do much. It's really about coming to see. This is the non-dual, the path of Zen. This is a path of wisdom. Mm-hmm. It's a path of seeing things as they actually are. Mm. Matter of fact, in Buddhist teaching about how to end suffering, the very first thing in his Eightfold Path is right views, seeing things as they are.
Yeah.
To see yourself as you actually are, to see conditioning as conditioning and you as you. That's all you have to do. Because the moment you see that conditioning is conditioning and is not myself, the energy immediately begins to separate from it, because the thing that holds it in place is thinking it's myself. When I realize it isn't, that automatically begins to move through your entire nervous system and dissolve in it all of the old patterns that were based on the assumption that I am this egoic mind, that I am my conditioning. So
you know,
very...
I feel like this would be, sorry, GP, I feel like this could be a really good, like, let's use me as an example, if that's okay.
Yeah.
We were talking about before we went live on the show. I'm here in Kelowna, which will be my new home in September. And my husband and I live in Edmonton, Alberta right now, so the province over. And so my husband proposes after first lockdown that, because we've always wanted to move to BC or Hawaii, somewhere by water, where the water and mountains and more better weather. And, and so I'm like, I noticed I was very resistant at first. Like immediately resistant, because Edmonton is home for me. My family, my closest friends are there, and so I know I'm watching myself, and I'm noticing this resistance come up. And I also was really connected with my high self to go, okay, yes, this is something that you've been dreaming about with your husband, and now here's the opportunity to presenting itself. And so I knew I had a year to embrace this and move into it. And so now, before I got here, which was last night, I was in my mind, I'm like, I'm totally ready. I'm ready. We still have like less than 4 months, but I'm ready. And here I am in Kelowna, where we're going to be living. And I'm going for a walk. I literally noticed myself getting really grumpy last night. Mind you, we were driving for 10 hours. So I'm like, okay, maybe I'm just grumpy and hungry. And so this morning we went for a walk before our show, and I noticed here I am. There's the mountains, there's a lake, these beautiful trees. I'm surrounded by what I love. And I just felt totally grouchy and resistant. And I recognize that, I thought I was ready, but my body's like, all the subconscious thoughts are still coming up and still
yes.
resistant. So I feel like that's part of the conditioning, right? My beliefs around moving and changing.
Yes, we have to understand the nature of the nervous system and the way it was designed to adapt to the environment. Once it adapts, right? And what does that mean? It means that all the behaviors, thoughts, feelings, everything have now conformed themselves in such a way to be as perfect a match for the environment in which you're living as it can possibly be. With the number one objective of the whole energy system is keep you safe. So because of that mandate to keep you safe, once it has mapped a particular territory, it doesn't want that territory to change, even for the better. Because from its point of view, okay, you're safe here. I can keep you safe here. I know I can. Don't rock the boat. And so what you're experiencing is the innate nature of the system to resist change. Now, it's not personal. It's not you. As you said, I'm ready to go. Of course, you are. The conscious you is ready to go. But that message has got to work itself south. And if you look at every decision you've ever made in your life, where you've had to struggle, what you'll find is that there's always been a conflict between safety and freedom.
Yeah.
The desire to grow and the desire to stay the same, to evolve, to be absolutely, to just, nope, everything's fine, just as it is, don't rock the boat, don't expect too much. And this is the essential conflict. This is the essential creative tension that every human being lives in. Now, what we normally try to do when that happens is we take sides. I become the lobbyist for my freedom. Oh yeah, I want more. And I start a fight with the safety mechanism. Now, the safety mechanism is the most dominant energy There is, because it's in absolutely every critter on the planet. You cannot win that fight. It will beat you every single time. So what's the alternative? Well, this is why I call it reconciliation. You're not trying to get rid of it. You're trying to reconcile with it. When you understand that it's its nature and its only job is to take care of you, and it'll do that, and it's been doing that 24/7 since the sperm met the egg, you need to be entering into kind of a negotiation with it. I call it stepping out of taking sides and becoming the peacemaker. You've got two powerful energies, neither one of which is going to go away. You can't squash the desire for freedom, and you can't squash the necessity of safety. So what do? If you take sides, you create an inner conflict. If you don't, there's no inner conflict. And what's the opposite of a conflict? Peace. And at this point, the nature of the energy itself will begin to dance. And you will find that that desire for safety, when it is no longer being threatened, when you're no longer a danger to it, it will begin to integrate with that freedom and find a way to bring you to freedom safely. This is the beauty of it. We make the mistake of taking sides, which creates an artificial conflict. In other words, we become unsafe for our own nervous systems. We become the threat. And remember, it was the absence of safety that created the conditioning in the first place. The only way out is to create an inner environment of safety. It's the only way. That's why self-help doesn't work, because it's trying to fix, which means it already assumes it knows what it's doing, and it's going to take this unruly nervous system and bend it to its will. Good luck.
Wow. I'm going to take time during the commercial to really soak this in, because, I'm really wanting to use myself as an example to access your wisdom and help me process this real time. So thank you. So when we come back from commercial, I'd also love to talk about non-duality and how all this ties in as well as GP.
Sure.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Free your mind. Expand your soul. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. Om Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for inspired conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired conversations to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
If I could be you,
and you could be me, for just 1 hour.
If you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Welcome back, love. So, JP, if you can share a little bit about, because you talk quite a bit about non-duality and how all of this really ties in as well. with your work.
Yeah. Well, that was kind of the, when I really discovered, I'd had glimpse of it all along, right? But I never really understood the depth of it. And it's a term that has gotten far more airplay now than it ever had in the past. The teaching behind it is a very, very old, from the Upanishads, going back thousands and thousands of years, which may be the oldest writing ever. The Upanishads, the Vedas, actually, from which the Upanishads arose. This is all in the Indian tradition, and it's the term in Sanskrit means Advaita Vedanta, and what it means, Advaita means not two, undivided. They don't put it in terms of oneness, right? Because people tend to think of oneness as just one thing, one reference to in relationship to many. But not two-ness. There's a not two-ness to it, which means there's an essential union, a unity that is there. We're all the same and we're all different at the same time. We are all arising from the very same essence, the same source, the same beingness, the same animating power animates every single form in the universe. And that is a singularity, a oneness. Yet the forms in which it manifests itself are infinitely varied. So the form, the appearance of it, and the essence of it are not two. Right? A great example, a way of thinking about it, is music and the song. Try to tell somebody what music is without humming a tune. You can't do it.
I literally was thinking about it. I'm like, nope.
You can't do it. You know, tell somebody what music is. You got to do something, right? A polka, anything. because without the song, the music, which is the potential for all songs or all pieces of music, would be there. It would be very real, but would be unknown. So the essence of music is the same, right? Every piece of music is music, right? And yet music is not limited to any one of those pieces of music. They're all music. Music is all them. And this is a perfect illustration of what it is, music being the potential for all, and the song being the current manifestation of it at any given moment. This is the nature of being. The essence of all things, you, me, the birds outside, the mountains you're looking at, is the same essential beingness, like music. The infinite potential of everything, the infinite emptiness, you might say. And of course, if it's infinite, it has no boundaries. If it has no boundaries or borders, it can't be seen, it can't be known, it can't be depicted. You depict it in form, which is a reduction of it, and yet at the same time, it's a reflection of it. Yeah. Right.
I feel like you need to repeat that again. We can really breathe that in. You don't mind.
Yeah, so you are both Rosalind and God simultaneously.
Yes, I am.
Being the name that we've given to this essence, the transcendent. Mm-hmm. And it's easy enough to discover. I mean, if and we'll do a little in the meditation of just going to that place inside of you where you simply know that you are. That sense of I am, right? Without anything added to it. It's just the feeling I am. Before it's I am this or that, just that feeling I am.
Oh, beautiful.
And just notice. Mm-hmm. Do you think that's different for anybody else? Or if everybody does that, do we end up finding exactly the same I am?
I believe it's exactly the same. It's a law of oneness.
It is. It is indeed. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the essence of you, that sense of being, is the shared being of everything. The plant, the carburetor in your car, all of everything.
Wow.
It is one
beam. Well, GP, this would be a really powerful segment into a guided meditation with you in supporting us to move into this I am, this non-duality, this inner reconciliation.
Yes. Well, that's where the inner reconciliation came from. When I realized that, when I realized that the essential oneness of everything, it became, there was nothing to get rid of, nothing to fix. It needed to be reconciled into its essential oneness. So now I see that the effort for safety, for freedom, for connection, for intimacy, for spirituality, are all just different aspects of exactly the same thing. And knowing that unifies them, brings them into harmony. And now it's this most beautiful dance, like an orchestra, or the palette of an artist's, with all the different colors that they have to choose from for drawing the painting. And there's just an infinite number of a number of paintings. And this is not way out there. This is actually very easy to get in touch with. So everybody can just close your eyes for a second. And if you've never done a meditation like this, first off, just start by watching your breathing, right? Because attention is normally focused outward. And when we close our eyes, we cut off like about 80% of what normally engages us.
Mm-hmm.
And so your attention wants to go somewhere. That's just its nature. So just let it go into the breath for a second. Just notice your breathing. And notice that it's just happening. Now take kind of an inner step backwards and take in your whole body. Just the feeling of your body. Now, as you start to do that, you'll notice that your mind will start kind of wanting to jump in and make a comment. You know, if you're feeling, for instance, your attention goes to your hand, your mind's going to go, hand, maybe even show you a picture of the hand. And just say, thank you, I don't need you right now. And keep the attention on the feeling of it, that kinesthetic sense of the body. And notice now, without the mind, without its commentary, there's just kind of this energy field, right, that doesn't really have a distinct form. Without a thought about it, it's just this experience. And now notice also that there's this energy pattern that we call the body. There's motions running through you, there's thoughts happening. And now just notice that something is aware of the thoughts, the feelings, and the sensations. That something isn't a thought, and it isn't a sensation, and it's not an emotion. It's something else altogether. It's so subtle you can barely feel it, but it's there. There's clearly something here. Because thoughts are coming and going, right? But something is there. It watches the thought come. It watches it dance for a minute, and then it watches it go. But it doesn't come and go. This is the I am. Just that simple sense, I am. Now, what thought wants to do is to fill up that sentence, I am, and then fill in the blank. I am a man, a woman, I'm white, I'm black, I'm Asian, I'm old, I'm young, I'm rich, I'm poor, I'm smart, I'm not so smart. Right? Just put all of that aside. I am, full stop. No thoughts. You're just present. And notice this is there's a clear, absolutely solid, self-verifying presence. Now, Now, without any thinking, without a thought jumping in and making a comparison and taking sides, is there anything wrong here? Is there anything missing? With just the attention on that sense of being, can you find a boundary to it? Can you find a beginning or an end? Notice you have to go into the mind to find something wrong. It's got to compare this with something else and say something is missing. But if those thoughts never occurred to you, there was just this feeling of being, would there be anything that wasn't perfect? And now this sense of being, isn't that you? Isn't that the self? I mean, there's not somebody else in there. You're the one who's aware. You are the one who is seeing thoughts, emotions, and sensations, watching them come and go. You are the great I am. This was the actual experience Moses had when the name I am that I am was given to him. Those of you familiar with that tradition. Now notice, I'm not making this up, right? We're not visualizing. I didn't put you into a trance. This isn't imagination. You're actually seeing what's really here. This is your original innocence. And notice, it's been here the whole time. It was there when you were 5, when you were 10, when you were 20. The content was different. The thoughts, the emotions, the sensations, they were different. But notice, this wasn't. This was here before your body appeared. It'll be here after this body falls away. It doesn't exist in time. It doesn't exist in space. It simply is. You simply are. This is what Eckhart Tolle calls presence, the now. The I am, the self, Buddha nature, Shiva being, Christ consciousness. all sorts of names for it. But the simplest name is the street name, and that's me. Myself. This is you, unmixed with anything else, the pure water. Notice there's nothing you need to do to get it. It's totally effortless. It just is. It is from here that everything arises. This is the source of everything. This is the music to the song. This is the beingness that gives rise to every form in the universe. This is the essential source energy. But it's not different from you. It is not two. It is your very self.
So beautiful. So breathing all of this in, noticing what you notice. as you take in these beautiful questions that lead you home to I am, I'm going to really seal this and activate this with the light language. So breathing in. Morakina na kia porokura tia na kora tia. Mana na kia mrakora tia mrakora tia mana kia mrakora tia mrakina na kia. Clearing anything in the way of your path of I am. Morakia mrakora tia mraka. Activating I am. Beautiful. Thank you so much, GP, for being here. Thank you for your share, your energy, and your wisdom.
Thanks for having me, Rosalind. It's beautiful.